let's have a word of prayer, if you wouldn't mind bowing your head and closing your eyes. Dear Lord, we commit the message to you tonight. Draw us closer to you in this very important area that we're going to talk about tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll fill me with your Spirit, simply control me with your Spirit tonight completely. And Lord, may we be attentive and, Lord, focused upon the Word. And Lord, may they not be my words, but may they always be your words that you speak through me. I pray, Lord, that you'll just again use your word, your powerful word, to draw us closer to you, encourage our hearts, and challenge us and change us and make us more like Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Would someone like to share what are some burdens that we sometimes have in life? Just real quick. What are some burdens that we have in our hearts and life? Okay, sometimes we have financial burdens. We're not quite sure. As they say, there's too much month at the end of my paycheck. Things like that. What was it, Amy? I thought you said something. What was it?
Unsafe
family member that we're burdened about. Medical problems when we get that news. We're not quite sure which way to turn and how it's going to go and what the future holds. So what else? Anything else? Relationship problems and strains in relationships, sometimes in our family. Thank you for clarifying that. anything else that burdens us sometimes? We look at the world. What about politics? That burdens our hearts sometimes. The economy burdens our hearts. I don't know how you can live in this world and not really have burdens sometimes on your heart. But the good thing about being a Christian is we can take those burdens to the Lord and leave them there, as the song says, right? We can take it to the Lord. But one area that we should have a burden, Gwen alluded to it a bit, but one burden that we should have, if you will, now I'm not saying burden to the point of sinning and worrying and fretting. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying one burden that we ought to have is for the lost people. And I think, the others come pretty natural. But really, burden to see a lost person come to know Jesus, you know, that heart for them, that concern for them, that doesn't really come natural. Because we are, for the most part, selfish people. And if we're saved, we know that we're, you know, sometimes it's me, my four, and no more. We're okay. You know, my church, we're okay. So we're going. But boy, there's a bunch of people out there, and I think every one of us, every single one of us, I believe, when you look in the mirror tonight, every single one of us need to have more burden for the lost, need to have more concern for the lost, need to have more of a heart for the lost people. The question I have for you as we begin the message, how much concern, heart, and burden do you have for the lost? Don't answer out loud, but just think about it. How much burden, concern, and heart do you have for the lost people around you? And question number two, wherever you think it is, do you think it could be better? Do you think it could be greater? If you feel it could be greater, which I strongly feel that my burden can be greater for the lost, the message is for you. So I'd encourage you to listen close. We're going to be in Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, this is one of those passages that when you look at it, it's like, wow, did he really say that? So we're going to look at that in just a moment, but we're going to review. We've been in a sermon series on leading someone to Jesus. And week after week, we've had a clock up here. We've shown you how we can wind that clock. And it's one of those areas that we need to be wound up in, if you will. We need to be reminded of. But we need to be winning people to Jesus. We need to be leading someone to Jesus. And we look part one of this sermon series. This is a Sunday night sermon series. Before leading someone to Jesus, we must believe that the Bible is the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. If it's not, why even follow it? If it's not, why even share the plan of salvation that's found in this book? So really, we have to have a conviction. We have to have an assurance. We have to have the full belief that this is God's Word. Secondly, before leading someone to Jesus, we must believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. This was part number one of the sermon series. Before leading someone to Jesus, we must believe that Jesus is the only way. If we think there's many ways, or if we're just kind of like, why in the world would I want to waste my time going out and telling someone about Jesus? I mean, from my perspective, if I think there's many paths, but when I know there's only one path to get to heaven, to get to God, it's through Jesus, that makes me even more resolved that I'm going to share the gospel. The third thing we looked at under part number one of this sermon series, before leading someone to Jesus, we must know how to get there ourselves. We must know how to get there ourselves. So if we're really having doubts in our heart and mind, and I realize that some people struggle with that more than others, I can honestly say in my, let me think about this, yep, it's been over 50 years now, because June was my spiritual birthday. So I've been a Christian for over 50 years. I can honestly say that there's really not been any huge doubts that I ever had that I was saved. You know, the devil might whisper in your ear, you know, a little bit and say, psst, you must not even be saved. You know, but I'm saying having those serious doubts. And I know some people struggle with that, and they have serious doubts about whether they're saved or not. I would encourage you just to nail it down, turn it over to the Lord and say, I did what the Bible said to do. You know, you got to mean it from your heart. But when you do that, it's done. It's resolved. You don't have to keep yourself saved either. You know, God does the keeping part. All you have to do is truly put your faith and trust in Jesus. So I understand that some people have maybe personalities kind of lend us a little bit more in certain areas to maybe doubt at times our salvation. But we don't have to. We need to make sure that we're saved, or else we'll kind of always kind of teeter-totter. Well, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I don't know. Just nail it down, and it'll give you a whole lot more zeal to tell people, a whole lot more assurance to go out and tell other people how to be saved. And I just tell people it's real simple. I mean, I say this to the old and gray. I say it to the young ones who, you know, hey, if you're not sure, let's just make it sure right now. Let's just nail it down. So you got to make sure that you're saved. And before leading someone to Jesus, we must know how to get there ourselves. We must know the way to lead someone to Jesus. Sometimes we complicate this way too much, but the one that I like, the method, is the Romans Road. We've talked about opening questions and how to get there. I like the question. I'll share it with you tonight. Again, I like the question. It's pretty non-threatening in a lot of ways. Do you go to church somewhere? Now, I know as our society gets more and more out of church, you know, that question may have to be reevaluated. But I do like the opportunity to say, do you go to church somewhere here in the area? And that, if they say no, you know, you're automatically calculating in your brain that, okay, well, this is either a saved person who's out of fellowship, or here's someone who's never perhaps been to church. And then if they say, I go to XYZ church, if you have a little bit of knowledge about different denominations and what those churches teach, you kind of know your starting point. So I like doing that as that opening question. But then the Romans Road comes into the plan too. Romans 3:23 talks about sin, for all of sin that comes short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. The next stop on the Romans road is Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Romans 10:9-10 nails it down. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then Romans 10:13, the last stop on the Romans road is, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you say, preacher, that's pretty complicated. Well, you can learn it. I'd encourage you to learn it. And if not, have a card in your Bible that has these stops on the way, and you can just turn to them and keep a little pocket-sized Bible with you, perhaps, and really strong glasses to be able to see the small print. Or, you know, sometimes you're kind of limited in those resources and the time, and you don't. We have a gospel tracts back there that basically go through the Romans Road and tell someone how to be saved, and even has a lot of the tracts. I think both of our main two tracts both have a little prayer that someone can pray. And there's no magic in the words, but if they mean it from their heart, a little prayer that they can pray and mean it from their heart and be truly born again. So those tracts are a great resource. And then plus John 3:16. If you know, have a little bit of knowledge about John 3:16, you can lead someone to Jesus out of John 3:16. It talks about belief. It talks about God loving us. It talks about Jesus coming. And I summarize it in a simple way, the ABCs of salvation. Admit you're a sinner and ask God to forgive you. Believe that the Bible, what it says about Jesus is true. He is the Son of God, died upon the cross to pay for our sins, resurrected back to life, and then confess Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord, as your leader. Part three of this sermon series, before leading someone to Jesus, we must believe what the Bible says about heaven. It's real. It's so good that really it ought to motivate us to want to kind of get a bunch of people going, get a whole bunch of people on the bandwagon, so to speak, and say, let's go to heaven. It's so good. And part four, last Sunday night, I believe, is when we talked about this. Before leading someone to Jesus, the flip side of that, we must believe what the Bible says about hell. It's real. It's real. And it's so bad that we should not want anyone to go there. Tonight, part five of leading someone to Jesus. Again, it's been a whole lot more than the mechanics, but it's kind of the motivation behind trying to lead someone to Jesus. Tonight, actually point number six in this sermon number five, before leading someone to Jesus, we must have a concern, a heart, or a burden for the lost around us. Now, I'm kind of using those terms synonymously. I'll say it again. Before leading someone to Jesus, we must have a concern. We must have a heart. We must have a burden for the lost around us. Romans 9, 1 to 5 here that I had you turn to, it seems like 3 days ago, but I had you turn to there a little bit ago. It's really a shocking passage. Now, Paul is writing to the Roman Christians. Now, this is the Apostle Paul, and he was quite a guy, but he was still a human. And I see in this passage his heart, his compassion, his burden for the lost, his concern for the lost. I'll read it, and then we're going to talk about it a little bit tonight, okay? Chapter 9, verse 1, it says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. And this tells us why. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. Whose are the fathers, and of whom are, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Now the part that's really, really like, wow, is found in verse 3. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But as I look at this passage of Scripture and apply it to our hearts and lives, Paul says in verse 1, my concern, my heart, my burden is real. It wasn't make-believe. Look, notice what he says. He says, I say the truth in Christ. So he used Christ's name. He says, basically, you know, I'm telling you this is true in Christ. Kind of adds a little bit of weight. Then he uses another part of the Holy Spirit, of the Trinity a little bit later. He says the Holy Ghost. But then he says, in case you're wondering, I lie not. I am telling you the truth. Not only the truth in Christ, I'm not lying. My conscience, my innermost being is telling you this is real. He's sharing his heart. He says, also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. So even the Holy Spirit is bearing witness. I mean, the Holy Spirit, at this point in dwelling, the Apostle Paul, as he indwells us at the point of salvation, it says, they're bearing witness with me. Christ and the Holy Spirit, my innermost being, and I'm telling you, I'm lying not. He says, my concern, my heart, my burden is real. You know, for you and I, our concern, our heart, our burden should also be real. You know, there's a real value in being real. There's a real value in being genuine and sincere in what we believe and what we live. You know, it's easy. It really is easy to pretend to be something not. Just look at our politicians. And I know that doesn't apply to all of them, but just in general, look at politicians. You know, they pretend to be things they're not. We can come to church and be just as guilty. Instead of being political hypocrites, we can be spiritual hypocrites. And we can say, I believe this, preacher, I believe it. Amen, preach a little lie. And then go home and just live however we want to live. Now, that's not right. Now, this burden that the Apostle Paul says he has, he says it's real. I'm telling you, it's real. We ought to have that same burden. Our concern, our heart, and our burden for the lost ought to be just as real. Having said that, it is my hope, whenever God gives me the green light, it is my hope to start a visitation program. And I know how this sometimes goes. It's like, okay, visitation program. Everybody excited? Yeah, preacher, we're excited. And then comes time, whatever time we're going to get together and go out visiting, it's like, my watch must be off because there's not too many here, or maybe nobody here. And I'm saying, we got to be careful what we say is real if it's not real. And I said from the very beginning, quite honestly, that I know that my burden and my heart and my concern can be greater for the lost. But good Lord willing, at some point you'll have an opportunity to prove that it's real. Because if there really is a burden there, you say, preacher, I get so nervous. My hands start sweating whenever it comes to, you want me to go up to that door and knock on it? Do you want me to maybe quietly slide something on their door? Oh, I'm too nervous. Oh, my goodness. We can talk about WVU football. We can talk about the weather. We can talk about our gardens. We can talk about our hobbies. We can talk about our grandkids. We can even break out the pictures. I'm telling you, our burden for the lost needs to be real. And you will be given an opportunity. And what typically can happen too, I want to give you this warning. Okay, we're going to start this. And we set a time and we want people to show up. People show up first time. Second time, you're down one or two. Third time, you're down three or four. Fourth time, you're down five or six. Before you know it, you got two or three people coming out and say, preacher, who do you want me to visit? There's lots of different ways to visit. We can visit people that are missing church that have been here at one time. We can visit the sick. We can visit, cold turkey on the door. We can go to a food line and give out invitations. I mean, there's lots of ways to do it. But I'm telling you, we need to be real about it. We need to make sure that the burden is real. Probably about every day we need to say, Lord, make that burden real. Keep that burden real. Help it to be real in my heart. Because if it's just a verbal thing, it probably can go a little deeper, don't you figure? Before leading someone to Jesus, we must have a concern, a heart, a burden for the lost around us. Paul says, my concern, my heart, my burden is real. Our concern, heart, and burden should be real as well. Secondly, I see in this passage, Paul says, my concern, heart, burden is very heavy. Notice the terminology here. He says, I'm telling you the truth. You know, my conscience also bearing the witness on, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Now, if you look at the context, he's not talking about because I've been in prison a big part of my ministry. Because usually the first place I visit right after I go and try to teach the gospel is the prison. He's not talking about because I got beaten, whipped, and thrown into the darkest part of the jail. He's not talking about that. He's saying, I have a great heaviness and continued sorrow in my heart for the ones that are lost. You know, to be honest with you, there may come a time that we are thrown in prison for being a Christian. Or worse. But right now, the risk of going to prison is not real right now in America, right? But we ought to have such a burden that it is a great heaviness. It bears upon us. It weighs on us. My concern, my heart, my burden is very heavy, Paul says. How heavy is the burden that you have for the lost? Does it weigh on you? Does it weigh on your mind? Now, I am talking. Now, I realize that our hearts are more weighed down and burdened for those we know really well, maybe in our family, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. That's our family. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having a heavy burden. But really, it ought to be for the worst rotten sinner in this whole wide world. There was a time in particular in the churches that I pastored that we prayed specifically when we prayed for the lost, and I think I have here as well at times, but not as consistently, that the meanest person in town or the meanest person in the county would get saved. I remember our pastor in Chattanooga. He was in Montgomery, Alabama. He had a church down there, and they prayed that. And he said one night this guy came up and got saved, and he said, I believe I remember right. He said, I don't usually do this, but I asked him if he had anything to say. And he said, this one thing, preacher, I'm glad I got saved because I'm the meanest person in Mobile, Alabama. And it's like, wow, what a praise. But we ought to have that very heavy burden on our heart for all of the lost. You know, it's kind of like we shouldn't just have the burden for the lost that look like us, or the lost that act like us, or the lost that are moral people. I mean, I'm telling you, our ministries are going to take a radical change because our world has gotten so far away from the Lord. I mean, we see it in even our kids' ministry. You know, at one time, you'd have the same kids every Sunday, right? I mean, you'd say you could count on these five kids. They're going to be there every Sunday, or these 10 kids or whatever. Now you just never know. I mean, normally in my Sunday school class, Sean's very consistent. I mean, he's there all the time when he can. But beyond that, I never know. So I almost have like, okay, plan A, plan B, plan C, you know, depend on who shows up in my class, because I know that some of them, you know, I'm going to cheat Sean if I don't, you know, kind of dig a little deeper and maybe get in a little bit of a series in Sunday school or something like that. But sometimes these people just out of the blue show up, and we're at Vacation Bible School several months back, and boom, it's like, well, okay, this won't mean too much to them because they've missed all. So we're going to go to plan D. I've already told Sean, Sean, if next Sunday, no, it was actually that Sunday. I said, if this Sunday, if we vary from what we've been talking about, it's because I'm expecting so-and-so to come. And so it's just a weird world. I mean, to get consistency, I know I've heard Marcus and Marta kind of express the same thing. It's so hard to get consistency in junior church because the kids are, and it's not the kids' fault for the most part, it's the parents' fault. And listen, if you pay attention, go to Walmart. Just look around. I mean, this is not exactly our grandparents' generation. And I'm telling you, those are the people we want to reach. They need Jesus, and we're to love them just as much, and we're supposed to have this, to kind of tie this point up in a nice, neat bow. We need to have that heavy burden for those really lost people who may be totally diametrically opposed to everything we stand for right now, but once God saves them, God changes them, we'll be on the same team. But we ought to have that burden. Paul says, we're looking at the point tonight, before leading someone to Jesus, we must have a concern, a heart, a burden for the lost around us. Paul says, my concern, my heart, my burden is real. In verse 1, is your concern, heart, and burden for the lost real? Secondly, he says, my concern, my heart, my burden is very heavy. It weighs on me. He says, I have great heaviness. I hope that our concern, our heart, and our burden should weigh on us. Not to the point to make us sin or make us discouraged, but just to say, you know, this is real. I feel this. I really want to see my family saved. I really want to see my neighbor saved. I really want to see, you know, fill in the blank. Third thing I see from Paul in this passage, my concern, Paul says, my heart, my burden is continual. Continual. Huh? Continual. You say, where is that? Well, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow. Continual sorrow in my heart. You know, like, kind of goes along with what I said sometimes happened in the visitation program. You know, we're on fire for a little bit. I know how this goes. I mean, I haven't always been behind the pulpit. I've been in the pew for a number of years in my life. And when the preacher would preach and he'd get fired up and say, "We need to get out there and win us souls." And he'd say, "Preach it, preacher. Yeah, amen." And we'd get all fired up and we'd be ready and we'd formulate a plan and we got our boldness up and we're ready to go. And then, you know, give it a few weeks and we're kind of... But really, our burden ought to be for the lost, continual burden for the lost. Really. I mean, if I'm going to go out on a limb here a little bit. If every one of y'all, including me, had the continual burden for the lost that we ought to have, believe me, these seats would start to fill up. I'm serious. I'm not joking with you. I'm being as serious as I can be. But that burden for the lost... And it's not just a distant, you know, "Well, I really care about you guys. I really want to see you saved. Now, I'm not going to get my hands dirty trying to talk to you. Or I'm not going to go in your airspace. You might pollute my air. I'm not going to, you know, we just disagree and you might be mean and ugly to me. Or you might use a cuss word. Or you might even smoke a cigarette while I'm trying to talk to you about Jesus. So I'm not going to go over there, but I have that burden." Now, that's not right either. We ought to say, "You know what, I'm going to meet you where you are." Now, I don't believe in going to bars. I don't believe that. You know, some of them use that as an excuse. That's too much badness, too much temptation and all that. But we need to be willing to get out of the salt shaker and into the world. You know, this is kind of like the salt shaker. We get together here and we get our batteries charged. But we ought to be, as individuals and as a church, going outside into the world and being salt and light in the world. And meeting them where they are. Because they're not going to come to us. But it ought to be a continual burden for the lost. I believe he's saying, you know, that's right before me all the time. It's ever present. It's kind of like right there all the time. You know, again, back to the burden. Sometimes we have burdens in our life and it just feels like it's right here all the time. You can't get around it. It's like, okay, leave me alone. You know, it's always just right. That's really the way it should be, our burden for the lost. Again, I'm not saying that we're supposed to have these heavy hearts and go around drooping because we're under such... I'm not saying that. We're under such pressure. No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying we really ought to have a continual burden for the lost. It ought not be like, you know, up, down, up, down, up, down. It ought to be, maybe even go higher the more we get in tune with God and His Word. So, before leading someone to Jesus, we must have a concerned heart burden for the lost around us. Paul says, "My burden is real. My burden is real." Hopefully our burden is real, not just words or lip service. He says, my burden is very heavy. Our burden ought to be heavy. It ought to weigh on us that there are lost people that we need to lead to the Lord. Let me ask you, if Oak Mound Evangelical Church doesn't lead these people to Jesus, who's going to? Now, there's good churches. I mean, there's still good churches that are preaching, teaching the gospel. I'm not saying, hey, it's just, I'm not meaning that. But I'm saying we got people right here that we need to reach. And there's not that many churches that got the gospel right. So you think about it, boy, what an opportunity. Paul says, my concern, my heart, my burden is continual. We need to have that continual before us all the time to see the lost saved. Paul also says, number four, under this as a sub-points here, my concern, my heart, my burden takes me to great length. And this is the part in this verse that's like, wow. What did he just write? Listen to what he says in verse 3. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Do you know what he's saying? If it were possible, I would give up my salvation so that all the other people could be saved. My kinsmen, my Jewish brothers. Wow. I mean, it's not possible. Let me say that, because if you're truly born again, you can't renounce your faith. You can't undo yourself out of God's hand. You can't turn your back on God to lose your salvation. You can turn your back on God and just be a disobedient Christian, but you can't lose your salvation. But Paul says, if it were possible, I could wish that I would even lose my salvation so that all the lost people around me, my brothers that are Jews, could be saved. What an attitude. I mean, goodness. And he started out by saying, I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. The Holy Spirit knows I'm telling the truth. My conscience knows. Christ knows I'm telling the truth. And he meant it. Boy, that's a heart for the lost. That's a burden for the lost. Great lengths. You know, I believe as we draw closer to God and get a greater burden, we'd almost feel the same way ourselves. You know, I have such a burden, you'd say in your heart, for the lost people, and maybe specific lost people, that if it were possible, I would give up my salvation so that they could be saved. Wow. Lastly, as we look at this, I just want to point out to you that who is he talking about? Excuse me. It says, for my brethren, in verse 3, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are the Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption into the body of Christ, the glory of Christ, the covenants of Christ, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. And then it talks about whose are the fathers, as whom concerning the flesh Christ came. He was a Jew, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. He's talking about the Jews. And they are still God's chosen people. Amen. Don't forget that, okay? Some people say, I believe I've shared this with you before, but I remember in college we had the Christian Student Union is what we called our Christian group that met on Thursday nights, and I had the opportunity to lead that group for a while there at West Virginia Tech. And I remember one night this one guy said something really weird, and I'm thinking, that doesn't sound right. He was saying that the church replaced Israel. The church never replaced Israel. They are still God's chosen people. And if you remember, God made a covenant with Abraham to say, you know, this is what the land you're going to occupy. And an interesting point, I alluded to it at some sermon here recently, Israel has never occupied the land to the extent of the Abrahamic covenant. But guess what? They will. In the 1,000-year reign of Christ, they're going to occupy that land. So God is not done with Israel. They are still God's chosen people. Now the church, we're his people too, but we did not replace Israel. God still has a place for Israel. By the way, that's why we better stay on the side of Israel and support Israel and quit calling for a ceasefire and just say, Israel, you do the same thing we would do. We'd take care of those that attacked us. Just kind of throw that in there. It won't cost you anything extra. But we need to make sure that we're on the side of Israel. If we're not, the Abrahamic covenant says, I will bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. So we better continue to bless Israel and be their big ally in reality. Again, talking about being real in reality and not just in lip service. But that's who he's talking about. Paul is so burdened for his countrymen. Paul is so burdened for his fellow Jews that he says, if I could be accursed and lose my salvation, I would. Amen. If it would mean that you guys got saved. Amen. What a heart. Tonight, before leading someone to Jesus, we must have a concern. We must have a heart. We must have a burden for the lost around us. Our concern, heart burden, should be real. It should weigh on us. Really, it should, in a good way. It should be continual, always before us, and we should take it to great lengths. That's what I think Paul did when he said, if I could be accursed. We should take it to great lengths. You know, if the Lord leads and we have this visitation program and at times roll around, I'm tired tonight. Oh, I'm so tired. I don't feel like getting out of this recliner. Ain't no way I'm going to go in there. Just think about Paul. Paul says, if I could lose my salvation for people to be saved, I would. So we need to have that. We need to go to great lengths for the lost around us. And when we do things like the fall festival, what are we doing that for? We're not having the fall festival so kids can get a pumpkin to take home. I mean, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's not the main point. The main point behind it, we're trying to lead them to Jesus. So we go to great lengths in Easter egg hunt and fall festival and fireworks outreach and Christmas parade and all the things we do. We're not doing it for us to have a blast, even though we normally have a blast. We're doing it for souls. We go to great lengths, if you will. I mean, I'm worn out sometimes after those things, aren't y'all? And the same thing, we ought to go to great lengths to lead the lost to Jesus. And be more even particular and more specific about it than outreaches like this. And again, good Lord willing, when he gives me the green light, we're going to start something like that. I'm encouraging, and I hope that you'll take this serious. Amen. The question I have for you tonight, is your concern, your heart, your burden for the lost, is it real? Is it real? Because again, it's easy to say, oh yeah, preacher, yeah. But is it real? Is it really in your heart? Secondly, is your concern, your heart, your burden for the lost, does it weigh on you? Because really, as a child of God, someone who knows the truth, has been born again, our job, our main job in this world is to lead people to Jesus. So it should weigh on us. If it doesn't, we're either too busy, we're not listening, or something. It ought to weigh on us. Is your burden, concern, your heart for the lost, is it continual? Continual. I realize that sometimes it spikes here and there, but really, it ought to be more like, yeah, I have that burden all the time. I really want to see the lost saved. And, Christian, is your concern, your heart, your burden for the lost, does it take you to great lengths? Does it take you to great lengths to try to win the lost? We need to be sensitive. We need to be listening to what God is telling us. Because you have friends in your life that I will never meet. You have family members that I will never meet. And you, again, as part of that family, as part of that community, as part of that friendship, you have the opportunity to tell people and lead someone to Jesus. And as I've said, and it seems like a lot of times it goes unheeded and we ignore that, but you may be the person God has put in their life to share the gospel. So don't wimp out. I mean, don't say, we need to have that burden, that heart, and that concern for the lost. If you would bow your head for just a moment. Let me ask you, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or to indicate in any way except for the invitation. But is God speaking to your heart tonight about your burden, your heart, your concern for the lost? You know, Paul, in an amazing statement, I wish, if possible, I could lose my salvation so that my brothers would be saved. Wow. Is your concern, your heart, and your burden where it should be for the lost? Is it where it should be? I figure God's answering that question right now and giving you a good answer, a correct answer, because his answers are always correct. Let me ask you, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Are you going to leave church tonight, forget about it in about 15 minutes and back to the same old, or are you going to say, Lord, help me to have that burden, that heart, that concern for the lost that you want me to have? If you mean that, would you say that to the Lord right now? Lord, give me that heart, give me that burden, give me that concern, like Paul had for his fellow Jews. Give it to me. Put it in my heart for the lost. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture, this very, very bold statement made in Romans chapter 9 and verse 3. And Lord, this whole passage about Paul's concern, his heart, his burden for the lost. And Lord, give us that concern, that heart, that burden for the lost that we should have. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amy, what's the song, please?